Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And we're like morning TV hosts. Hi, everybody.
I've already had my coffee, so.
Yeah, and Mark was
you're
kind
of a rock star.
Yes, the watermelon, zero calorie.
You said kind enough to get them for you, like you didn't ask me last night to get it. Like I just saw the rock stars and went, you know, I think Heath would like to have a couple of those rock star watermelon drinks.
Well, I think you know this is what I drink. And I know typically what you drink, except now you're off the soda.
Yes, sir. And have been for about three. I've been off cigarettes.
That explains a lot.
What? Like, what's it explain? My attitude?
No. Your attitude's fine. Maybe some language. Maybe there's a little more language than
is there? Yeah, it could be. But like I'd quit smoking.
Yeah.
But like I would still smoke, so I really hadn't quit smoking.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
It was I had cut back on the smokes.
Yeah.
But I finally, like I told my buddies at work, I was like, you know, you got like don't give me any cigarettes.
Is that like messing you up? It's messing me up.
It's good.
It's throwing me off.
We need to hang something up though.
Yeah.
Somebody broke those blinds.
Yeah.
It's
probably my dad.
Probably was.
Of course.
He's like
there's not a lot of daylight in this basement.
No, that's true. We're kind of down in the dark, deep, dank dungeon. But so anyway, off the cigarettes, off the beer, off liquor and whiskey, off wild women. Well, I was on a wild woman last night, but I'm off wild
women. Oh, shoot.
I'm off
our monkey. Butt.
I'm off,
good night.
I'm off wild women. I'm off soda. I haven't had a... I mean, I've had Diet Cokes, I mean, as you know, but
right.
I haven't had a Mountain Dew in like 3 months.
Where are we eating lunch today?
I was wondering the same thing, man. I don't know. I'm down, last check, 15 pounds. I've lost 15 pounds. So.
I found them.
You did.
You know.
You did, but I don't know. I've like,
been
what
to
are
Blacks
you,
in a while.
What are you in the mood for? Blacks? I heard that I hadn't had Blacks in a while.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, we haven't had ribs in some time.
We have not supported this local business.
That's true. So, yeah, whatever you want, man, I don't care.
All right, let's quote that. Whatever you want, I don't care.
So, and then we'll get in the car, and we're like a married couple trying to figure out where we're going to eat at. I don't care. What do you want?
But now,
well, how about this? Well, I just had that. I don't want that. What
lately,
about this? I don't know about that.
But lately, first thing you said, I've jumped on.
That's true. That is true.
I've tried to be less ornery about it all.
Less ornery. That's what you're known for, being the ornery guy.
That's my gimmick.
It is.
I live my gimmick.
Grumpy. Hard to be around.
I know, man. People dread being
They do.
Around
they
me.
Cannot stand to see you coming, man.
And they see me coming, and they're like, I got to be around this frowny face. This guy won't even laugh at a joke, for goodness sakes. Don't say anything about his height or his weight.
Yeah.
Good.
Stand up, Heath.
Oh, my goodness. So let's catch up a little bit. It's been, man, I don't remember the last time we recorded like this. It's been a while. We've both been busy.
Yeah, because I had to work the other week. I picked up some overtime.
Yeah. Mark's getting ready for the vacation to end all vacations.
Yeah. Coming up in about a month.
Yes. But let's catch up. We did an episode on the CM Punk fight, which we were talking about. Man, if somebody can describe a fight to you in one text message, which my friend did, you said, man, this fight is going to be a gift. And it was.
Yeah, CM Punk didn't get in a fight. He got in a gift.
Yeah. And so we were real nice to him on last week's episode.
Right. I mean, he just got, what were we going to say?
Yeah.
That. You know, that he couldn't. I mean, the dude literally was fighting back tears.
Yeah.
Standing in the octagon. And I've never seen that side of that guy before. And I don't want to kick a man when he's down. That's Mickey Gall's job.
Right. Listen, Mickey Gall.
He guzzled CM Punk.
He really
guzzled
did.
Him, man.
I mean, it was not even.
It wasn't a fight.
And here's the thing. This is the difference between a guy that's trained 2 years, and really he hadn't trained 2 years because he's had two surgeries in that time, versus a guy who has lived fighting.
His whole life.
His whole life. Is that CM Punk made one mistake, and it was at the beginning of the fight. He made that one mistake. Mickey Gall jumped on it, and the next thing you know, it's
I think the mistake that he made was climbing in that octagon. I'm going to be honest with you, man. That's
But listen, $500,000, though.
Oh, man, look, I'll fight. There ain't a man on the planet that I won't fight right now for $500,000. Right. Not only $500,000, I'm sure he's getting, what I heard, don't know if it's true, was that he's also getting a cut of the gate for that fight because they knew what sold it.
Well, yeah. Well,
and that may be in excess of $1 million.
I heard secondhand via Facebook that Dave Meltzer reported how huge the pay-per-view numbers were.
Yes.
That this was like top three.
Uh-huh.
And so for everybody, all the MMA fans complaining about, well, that CM Punk shouldn't have got that shot. Maybe he shouldn't have, but everybody got paid. Everybody got made. Everybody got money.
Everybody made money off of it.
Everybody made money. It was good for the UFC. And
but you book it right now. Me and Brock Lesnar, you give me 2 years to train.
Right.
And I'm 41.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be 43, 44.
Yeah.
When it happened.
Yeah.
You give me, somebody wants to bankroll where all I got to do is train.
Yeah, for 2 years.
For 2 years. I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything. All I got to do is train to fight Brock Lesnar for 2 years.
Yeah.
And you pay me $500,000 on the night of the fight plus a cut of the gate, and I'll go in the ring, and I promise you, I'll do better against Brock Lesnar than CM Punk did against Mickey Gall.
Mark, I don't think you're being fair. I mean, CM Punk had a pimple on his back.
That is true. He had a pimple going into this thing. See, we didn't mock him last week because it didn't feel right to me to do it. But it's been a while, and I don't know. I hear he's mad at his best friend Colt Cabana now.
He cut. Did you hear the story about him and Hornswoggle?
Mm-mm.
Hornswoggle asked him for somebody's number, a mutual friend. Hornswoggle lost the number. CM Punk, like, cut him off. Like, said, all right, we can't be friends anymore because you asked me for this guy's number. Like, Hornswoggle was, like, in his kayfabe commentary with Sean Oliver. Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, Sean Oliver.
Anyway, he just, you know, the one thing I'll say about CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Is after the fight, he did seem happy. He has never seemed. He's just such a miserable.
No, he looked like he was about to cry. He didn't seem happy to me.
But what I mean is,
he seemed like a guy that was saying, this ass whipping I just took is the second greatest day of my life. And I don't believe that.
No. No.
I don't believe it. It's just
that way. He didn't say second greatest. He said the most fun.
I'm pretty sure he said, aside from the day that I married my wife, this is the greatest day of my life.
I think he said most fun.
Maybe he did say most fun. Maybe he did.
And so I would definitely.
Evidently, he's never experienced a whole lot of fun in his life if getting his tail whipped. His tail whipped is the second greatest day of his life.
But that is what I'm saying, is that if you follow CM Punk, even when he was the champ, he just seemed miserable. Like nothing made him happy. And here he is. He gets to do what he wants to do, and it did not turn out very well for him.
No, and I've always said that about this guy. You have a company that put the world title on him for longer than anybody that I can remember in my lifetime, with the exception of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Nobody else has held a title. Am I right?
Not since Hulk Hogan.
He was, it's San Martino,
Backlund,
Hogan,
Punk.
And Punk.
Yeah.
That's pretty good company to be in.
Yeah.
They put the title on him that long, put the machine behind him.
They really
and
did.
And it's like he still wasn't.
Yeah.
He still
it's like, I want to be in the main event. You getting paid? You're the face? You're the, I don't know.
I understand that. I get the wanting to be the main event. Because it's an ego business. It's a bunch of alpha males. We've talked about it. You get a room full of alpha males, and it's sometimes.
So, let's change gears, sort of. And I want to segue to this. You and I have, or I have, I've listened to some of Bruce Pritchard's podcast.
Yeah, I've listened to all of them.
And one thing Bruce Pritchard says in just about every podcast is the way WWE operates is if you're not happy, they let you go. And yeah, we've seen it here recently with Del Rio, Cody Rhodes, Ryback. He would rather, you know, Vince would rather have a happy locker room
right
than an unhappy locker room. So, transition from that comment to this, last night was the Cruiserweight Challenge Finals, okay? Mm-hmm. So I want to contrast the guys I saw on there last night versus a CM Punk, okay?
Okay.
The thing with CM Punk is it didn't ever seem like he took joy in what he was doing.
Right.
And right. So I get a lot of satisfaction, even if it's Ole Anderson. Ole Anderson is in there beating somebody up for money, but he looked like he was having fun
mm-hmm.
doing it in his way. He's not in there grinning and all happy-go-lucky, no. But he has this gleam in his eye where I believe this man loves what he's doing. Yeah. He's doing it for money. He ain't doing it because he loves wrestling. He ain't doing it because he loves the business. He's doing it because he likes cashing a check. He likes right. getting an envelope. There was a,
you know, and it's just a little aside to that. You talking about that's, they'll never forget. I met Paul Jones.
Yeah.
And I didn't see the Paul Jones Mid-Atlantic era.
Right.
And I've seen it since then. I've watched it. But really, as a child, all I knew of Paul Jones was the Jimmy Valiant and
yeah.
the Paul Jones Army. And oh, I just hated Paul Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And when I met him, I got to talk to him a little bit about that and say, I remember saying when you paid Manny Fernandez and he hit Boogie Woogie, man, I don't think I've ever been more angry with anybody ever since then. And I wanted, if I said I was like 9 when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I could have crawled through my TV and got my hands on you, I'd have done it. Even as a 9-year-old child, knowing I'd have got my tail whipped. I was so mad at you.
Yeah.
And he got the biggest smile on his face.
Yeah.
And the just twinkle, legitimately his eye twinkled.
Yeah.
I saw it, man. Yeah. I saw his eyes light up.
Yeah.
That I remembered that. And that it made this impression on me as a kid. And he just grinned as big as he could grin. Because he still loved it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And somebody remembered that he'd done that.
And I think the thing with Paul Jones that you and I didn't get, the people our age, what made him such a phenomenal heel in that role was his babyface work in the 70s.
Yeah.
He was the babyface. I mean,
right, in the people would come area, yeah.
and, right, people would come and go, but the one constant, was there anybody else?
Johnny Weaver.
But I'm talking about 60s, 70s, and 80s. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. It was Paul Jones and Johnny
Weaver. I thought you were just talking about in the 70s in Mid-Atlantic as being like...
Just he was the constant, but you're right. Johnny Weaver.
Yeah, Johnny Weaver was as well. But Johnny Weaver was a whole different... Johnny Weaver was an everyman.
Yeah.
You know?
Paul Jones he just was played like, that underdog. He could fight... I mean, when we've right. gone back and watched some of Jim Cornette's lost footage stuff, a lot of that is Paul Jones. And it's just... They could team him with anybody. I mean, mm-hmm. the more I think about it, the more I watch, I mean, that guy's so underrated, Paul Jones.
He is, and you'll hear, and I understand, I've heard like Bruce Mitchell and guys like that very critical of the Jimmy Valiant, Paul Jones feud.
Right.
Didn't like it. And if I'd been 10 years older, I don't think I would have liked
Correct.
it.
Correct.
But it's just like the Ultimate Warrior. If I'd have been 10 years older, I would have liked it. But I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it was simple.
Yeah.
It was a simple story that I understood, and it made sense to me. And I still look back very fondly on the Jimmy Valiant and Paul Jones rivalry. I loved it, and still do. Still love to watch it.
Yeah,
I love to watch Paul Jones on the 605 show stand there like a child and pitch a fit.
Yeah, I was at Greenville, and that Sunday night before, two things had happened. I think it was the day before. Dusty had won the title, which they announced.
Uh-huh.
and Jimmy Valiant had gotten his head shaved.
Yeah.
And when Jimmy Valiant came in and took that do-rag off and his head was shaved, I heard a collective gasp.
Yeah.
So let's stick right there, okay? You said something. You talked about being a child. And I want to get, you know, maybe we'll talk about the Cruiserweight Classic in another episode.
I'm sorry. You were going to roll there.
No, I like this because we're chasing good rabbits. So we talked about this the other day. You talked about being a child. And we've in our process of booking actual wrestling, not talking about fantasy booking on a whiteboard. I'm talking about actual booking. You and I have talked about things, and there are companies now that are not child appropriate.
Yes, I agree.
And I would say, okay, that if you, to me, to have any staying power as a wrestling company, you got to attract kids.
Yes, I agree.
You have got to be kid, on some level, you've got to be kid friendly. Because if you're not kid friendly, that you're not just drawing the kid. Because listen, the frat guy, college age, single guy, okay? Once he gets married and starts having kids, his wrestling income is going to go down.
Right.
And a show that he would go to by himself or with his buddies, he's not going to take his kid to that. So I think that was the thing about Mid-Atlantic. It was violent.
Yes.
But you could take your, but think about how many kids got hooked on that.
Yeah. I'm gonna say, here's the thing with me. I think you talk about how violent it was, and I think that's true. I think you have to have a balancing act and know when to go PG-13.
Yes.
Without going R.
Yes.
And
yes.
Not really, not even PG-13, but you have to, you've got to get right up on that line sometimes with the violence factor.
Right.
Without going over.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I think, totally agree with you. I just feel like people always criticize the WWE for the PG era. And I believe, are there things that I don't like about it? Sure. But you look at a WWE crowd, WWE, as much as they don't want to do anything to upset their sponsors, they don't want to upset mom and dad.
Right, right.
Because if they can hook the kid, mom and dad, let me tell you, if you've ever had a kid that's just like, dad, can we go, 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 you're going to go. It's going to wear you down. And I feel like for you and I, there was something about Mid-Atlantic wrestling as children. That our parents said, yeah, you can watch that. That's the wrestling I grew up on. That's the wrestling I want you to grow up on. Right. But there's some wrestling today that my son will not grow up on. I'll watch it and enjoy it.
Like what? I'm just curious.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't let my son watch a PWG show. I mean, if I watched it first, and I mean, when you watch a match and they're throwing F-bombs at each other, I can't let my son watch that.
Yeah, there's some stuff about it. I love PWG. There's some stuff I don't like about it.
Right.
Some things they do, I don't much. But I kind of gloss over it because I enjoy a lot of the other matches.
Right.
That stuff doesn't bother me. I don't have kids.
Right,
but
correct.
I mean, that stuff doesn't bother me. But I've always said, we've had this discussion a thousand times, people that look back on the Attitude Era and think that it was Sable walking around with her boobs hanging out and that Steve Austin flipping people off and people cussing was what made it great, and that's not what made it great. It was the intensity of the guys, and it was everybody. I believe in every wrestling company, if you're not trying to steal the show in your match, then you need to go home.
Yeah.
Every guy that walks through I've said it a thousand times, if the main event can't keep up with what the opening match is doing, then we need to flip it around.
Right, right, right.
That's my opinion.
Right.
If you can't, I don't think anybody should have to tone their style down. Now, I think that if guys are doing a finish in the main event, that you shouldn't use that move in your match. Do I think that the opening match shouldn't go out and do a bunch of false finishes? Absolutely. I think you have to build a card a certain way. But I don't think it's fair to tell guys you can't work at the level that you're capable of working at.
Right.
But I also think that as a professional, if we put you in the second match, then you should understand what the – and
no, right.
It's very hard. I'm still old school enough that I don't like to talk about these things.
Right. But this is the kind of stuff we talk about on our – to our patrons.
Yes.
Yes.
I can't tell the story that I want to tell. I'm just not going to do it.
Can we tell it on Patreon?
I'll tell it on the Patreon.
So listening, I'm telling you,
but I'm not going to tell it here.
That's totally cool.
So on here, I'm not going to expose.
Right. No.
I'll expose the business. I won't expose my business. How about that?
Right. So, Right.
If
gotcha.
You want to hear me expose my business, then you can be a patron.
Yeah.
On Patreon.
Yeah. Which, hey, patreon.com/doubledropkick. So all of this, you know, I love it when we sit down and we got our spots and we go a different direction, man. I love that.
I actually got a comment from a good friend of mine that he thought our show was best when we strayed far off topic.
Right.
That's what he thought was good, because that's how real conversations go now.
Correct. Like, we're not, we don't have a script. This is an unscripted show.
Unfiltered.
It's fake.
It's fake.
It's fake. Yeah. So, I tell you what, we'll save. I want to talk about the Cruiserweight Classic.
How much time have we filled?
Because
I don't have anything to say about it, and that's why I'm asking. So if it's going to take you 5 minutes, then I would say do it. But if you want to get another show out of it, that's fine. But I don't have anything to add because I haven't watched any of it.
Well,
I watched one match from the Cruiserweight.
I think what I want to talk about it, I can get some. I think we'll have a good conversation.
Okay.
Hey, if you're listening to this, we're trying to do some different things. We're trying to tighten up our recording schedule. And let me just go ahead and tell you a couple of things, okay? We're getting ready to do a really long series on...
Just tease it. Don't give too much away.
Okay? A really long series on some wrestling in the late 80s.
Right.
If you liked, you know, where we went through WWE in certain years, WCW in certain years, you are going to love this. And one of the best things about it is, with the network, is now as the story is being told on our podcast, you can go back and watch things as they took place. And
so I can tell you now, if you want to start on, you go to the vault.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the 605 show.
Yeah.
And you can start on October 17th of 1987.
Yes.
If you want to start watching along with us.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
So our goal very quickly with our show is just simply, for lack of a better term, to produce more content. Yes. Which means we may not be doing hour and a half episodes anymore, but you might get 3 30-minute episodes.
Yeah.
We're going to be giving you more. We're going to be doing stuff that's just going to be on our YouTube channel. So if you have not subscribed to the Double Dropkick Show on YouTube, I highly, highly recommend that.
And also subscribe to just Mark Whitman and subscribe to my channel. Because I haven't posted any videos yet.
Yeah.
But Heath and I have, there are things because of what Heath does as a profession.
Yes.
There are stories that I can't tell.
Right.
On the show.
Yes.
And I respect that.
Yeah.
Don't have a problem with that. Would never say anything that jeopardizes Heath's. But like, I can't tell the story of my interaction with Ole Anderson.
Right.
On this show.
Right.
But on my personal YouTube page.
Yes.
I can tell those stories. And Heath won't have to take any of the heat for it.
Yeah.
He won't be involved. It won't be anything that has to do with Double Dropkick. It'll just be me. So if you want to direct heat, it'll just be directed at me. and I'm going to tell some a little bit more. I'm not going to be on there cussing and stuff. That's not what it's about.
Right.
But I will use some profanity.
Yeah.
To illustrate the stories that are like the Ole
Anderson story.
I cannot tell without the profanity.
Right.
It's just not as funny. It's not as good.
Right. And you're quoting the man.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, one thing I have learned is wrestling is not for the faint of heart.
No.
And there is a vernacular in the business. You like how I threw that word out there? There's a vernacular in the business that's not for everybody. It's just the way it is. And so anyway, hey, make sure doubledropkick.com is the website. We're going to be putting up more articles. We're going to be linking to other outside articles. Like I said, we just want to give you – we want to be the place that you go to for your – not like breaking news, but we're going to be linking to old articles from other great websites.
Matter of fact, not very much breaking news. Like I'm,
right. You can get breaking news anywhere.
You can get that. You can Google anything and get that.
But we're looking for like some old stuff. Also – our podcast, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher Radio, we're on the Tuned In Radio app, we're on Google Play, all that. You can support the show financially, Patreon.com, Patreon. We still don't know how to...
Patreon. I know how to say it. You're the one that doesn't
know. How do you say it?
I've told you 30 times. It's Patreon.
That's what I said.
You said Patron.
I just said Patron because I thought that...
Patron.
Patreon.
Patron is a type of tequila. Patreon is a website where we ask for handouts.
Patreon.com/doubledropkick. There's a video on there on our page describing what it is, and there if you pay $1 a month gets you an exclusive episode.
Yes.
$5 at least one, maybe more. $5 a month, we're gonna give you get that exclusive episode and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about and promote your website or whatever. You give $10 a month. Listen, $10 a month gets you the free episode. We talk about your business. We promote that. On our show, the regular show, you get to give us a topic for a regular show. And you are going to get an autographed picture of a Mid-Atlantic wrestling legend.
Yeah.
So.
Good ones, too.
Right. Right. Good ones. Like, I'm talking Ivan Koloff. We mentioned Paul Jones in this episode. You might get a Paul Jones.
Tully Blanchard.
Jimmy Valiant.
There might be I don't know if we got a Dusty Rhodes, but there may be some Dusty Rhodes out there.
Yes.
Ric Flair.
And listen. So, when our Facebook page gets to, I put this out about a week ago. When our Facebook page gets to 2,500 likes, we're doing a giveaway. We're giving away one of those Harley Race lithographs that's autographed.
Oh, cool. We're giving yours away, right? Not mine.
We're giving a third one away.
Okay.
I will order one.
I've still got to get mine framed with the picture of me and Harley.
See, I got when I ordered mine from High Spots, it came in the plastic.
Yeah, but I want a frame for mine to hang up in my house.
So,
I still got a bunch of stuff to frame and hang up.
Me too, dude. I'm like 2 years behind.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, I'm at Twitter at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
And again, on Facebook, The Wrestling You Grew Up With. Listen, just talk to us. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Double. And make sure, hey, if you like if you like our podcast, you're going to love our commentary.
Yeah.
So subscribe to 3 Count Pro Wrestling on YouTube, and if you don't like it, well, I don't like you. So
then you could
jack his jaw, Ernest. So for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.